Hello everyone, and welcome to another episode of Nintendo Everything Refresh, the weekly show where we keep you all up to date on everything new and exciting in the world of Nintendo. I'm your host, Nick Serpa, joined today by Nicholas Chade.
Hello everyone, I'm happy to finally be back on the podcast.
We are so happy to have you, Nicholas. It's been a while, and it's good to hear your voice on the show again.
Yeah. Life kind of gone the way, but I'm ready to talk some more about all the stuff happening in Nintendo news.
Yes. Yeah, there's been a lot going on lately. And yeah, to all of our listeners, in case you didn't catch the last episode, a couple weeks ago we announced that we were going to be on a short break. That was because I was off on my honeymoon. So that was why we didn't have any episodes the past couple weeks. But we are going to be getting back into the rhythm of things now, which is good timing because the Nintendo's got a bunch of releases coming up just over the next few months. We've got Mario game coming out. We've got WarioWare, some Pokemon DLC. So it's going to be a busy time for sure. And we just had the release of Pikmin 4, which is just crazy. I can't believe that game is finally out after having been announced back in 2015. Yeah, that's wild, geez. Nicholas.
Yeah, Nintendo isn't usually one to have these kinds of situations where they announce a game and then we have to wait years and years and years and years to have them come out. Like, Tears of the Kingdom and Prime 4 are obviously outliers, but outside of those two, Pikmin 4 was like the only other one, and it's a game that people had thought was almost canceled for sure, or like something had happened in development, because we had had a report that it was nearing completion, right, on Wii U, and then suddenly complete radio silence.
That was, yes, Shigeru Miyamoto. It was September 2015, which, for the record, like, 2015, like, that was the year, like, I started college. I went through all of my college education without Pikmin 4 in my life. And now, here we are, all these years later. A lot has changed since September 2015. I wonder if we will ever get any answers as to, like, what he meant when he said the project was really close to completion. But regardless, the game is out now. It is doing really, really well in terms of review scores. Someone from the site, Nintendo Everything, is reviewing it. We didn't get our code early like some outlets did, but someone is working through it right now. But from everything I have heard, this is absolutely the Pikmin game that fans have been waiting for. I mean, there are a lot of innovations, lots of new mechanics. Structure is a little bit different, you know, than some of the earlier Pikmin games. But it seems like the changes have gone over really well with players. Obviously, there's Ochi now. You have a little dog companion. So, like, what's not to love? Is Ochi a dog? He looks like a dog. But
yes, I think he's supposed to be some kind of space dog.
Okay. Well, he's doing a great job at that. Ochi needs to keep up the good work. The game is obviously just visually just, it's stunning on the Switch. It's clear that Nintendo spared no expense in making this just a modern Pikmin game through and through.
Yeah, I've heard only good things about it from everyone that I've seen play it. Like you said, it's been doing great sales-wise. It's outsold, I think, every single other Pikmin game by, like, twice over. So that's really nice to see, because Pikmin has always been a bit of one of those B-tier Nintendo franchises, not in like a negative way, just in terms of like sales, where it's never been as big as the really big properties like Mario, Zelda, Pokemon, but a really nice, comfortable series that fans really enjoy, that sells enough to still be relevant, just not like huge bombastic numbers. And this one is doing better than it ever has, and that's always super exciting. Kirby kind of did that with Forgotten Land when that released. Metroid Dread has also sold a whole bunch. So it's a bunch of these series from these smaller properties that are just kind of ballooning on the Switch. It's that so-called Switch effect just kind of come into play here.
Yeah, which, like, what a great time for this franchise to reach a new audience. You know, I mean, if ever there is a time to create new fans out of some of these, I don't want to say smaller, but it is a smaller franchise for Nintendo, at least in terms of the amount of games and how often we get them. you know, trying to get new fans, I mean, what a better time than this late into the Switch's life when you have this massive user base. And I've seen a lot of, you know, people talking on Twitter basically saying, like, hey, this is my first Pikmin game, and people are just over the moon about it. And I'm so glad that, you know, we now have the entire franchise on one platform. You know, you can go and you can play the older games and see just how different everything is. Obviously, you know, Pikmin 4, there's no timer. And my understanding is that also, you know, unlike in, I think it was in Pikmin 3, you can have like up to 100 Pikmin. And I think like they've made some changes this time around in terms of how you get Pikmin and how you like increase your capacity of them over time. There's new types of Pikmin in the game, obviously. There's new like glow Pikmin that you can get when you're exploring the underground caves. I've heard a lot of work has been done in that section too. Because apparently in Pikmin 2, the underground section was almost like had some level of procedural generation, if I remember correctly. Whereas this time around, everything is handcrafted, and I've heard it's significantly more interesting to explore.
Yeah, I've heard the same. I mean, in general, I think there's just been a lot of little tweaks made to the gameplay to keep it kind of fresh and approachable and exciting. Obviously, one of the biggest ones, like you mentioned earlier, is Ochi. Just having this kind of like big dog companion is loads of fun and provides a lot of different options. I think there's an upgrade system tied to him as well, so that's another element where now you have this, I guess, RPG-like elements where you can start upgrading incrementally in terms of all your abilities and whatnot. It's a lot of small changes that feel impactful and fresh.
Yeah, it's, I think this is going to be a strong contender for Game of the Year for a lot of Nintendo fans in what is, I mean, going to be a very competitive year for that, I think. But yeah, overall, I mean, the buzz around Pikmin 4 is great, and it's really exciting to see, and I just hope that I hope the franchise is able to maintain this level of popularity moving forward, and hopefully we won't have to wait 8 years for the next game in the franchise, you know?
Lord.
Although, you know, I mean, I guess the one positive thing is that when these releases are spread out more, it does feel more special, you know? It's not every year you get a Pikmin game. And it gives me hope that, you know, some of these other dormant Nintendo franchises could see revivals down the road, too.
Kid Icarus, please.
please. Yeah. If you're tired of hearing us beg for Kid Icarus games, let us know down in the comments, and we'll try not to do that. Funnily enough, this was a story that kind of came out adjacent to all the Pikmin coverage lately, but apparently the original Pikmin game was originally being developed for the Nintendo 64, which is just wild to think about. I mean, I guess it makes sense in a way, you know, because Nintendo 64 came out right before the GameCube, but, you know, it just would have been, clearly this concept, the whole concept for the franchise has been kicking around for a long time.
Yeah, it is just wild to think of, too, because, I mean, for one, it's such a flagship GameCube title, but also, I think a decent amount of people associate it with the Mario 128 tech demo that was shown for the GameCube, which showed how you could have all these individual character models kind of interacting on screen. And it kind of makes you wonder, like, that wouldn't have really been possible on the N64. You just couldn't have that many individual models interacting like that. So
right.
I wonder, had we gotten a Pikmin game of some kind on that system, how it would have changed in that matter, because it really would not have been able to function in the same way that it does now.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. I'd imagine the whole concept would have had to be scaled back significantly, which is probably why we did have to wait till the GameCube to get it. But yeah, that's interesting. I didn't think about it that way. But yeah, regardless, Pikmin 4 is out now, and if you've been playing it, let us know. I really want to hear more of people's opinions on this game. We had a nice surprise earlier this week as well. Switch Online got two classic Zelda games dropped on the same day, just no warning. They just showed up. We knew they were coming, at some point, but we didn't know when. And we just got The Legend of Zelda Oracle of Ages and Oracle of Seasons on Switch Online. And you don't need the expansion pass for them. You could play these on the base version of Switch Online. I believe so. Right, Nicholas? Game Boy Color is included?
Yeah, Game Boy and Game Boy Color are both part of the default subscription. So.
Right, right. So yeah, these games are just such an interesting piece of Zelda history. The really cool thing is, you know, if you beat one of the games, you'll get a code that you can plug into the other game, and it will kind of change the story and add some extra scenes or change how some things play out.
I think it adds like an entire different ending and final boss to the game.
And I don't know about you, but I've never played these games, and they've, you know, they're pretty inaccessible today up until now. So the fact that you can now, like, you know, it's not like you even have to, like, no switching cartridges and writing down codes or anything. Or actually, I'd be curious to see how they actually, like, talk to each other via the Switch Online app. But this is great. I mean, shoot. I mean, I think at this point, like, the amount of Zelda games, other than the DS ones and like obviously Twilight Princess and Wind Waker, I think those are the only major gaps left. If I'm
pretty much, I mean, correctly. There's like Four Swords and Triforce Heroes, but those are a little bit spin-offy,
right?
Because of the multiplayer components. But yeah, these were pretty much the last two main Zelda games, I think. Because yeah, we have. We're Ocarina and we have Majora. So, yeah, it's awesome to have these here. They're also the first Capcom-developed Zelda games, I'm pretty sure, alongside Minish Cap, which also gives them the kind of, like, cool uniqueness to them. I'm super excited to play these. The only kind of questions I have is I feel like a lot of people kind of expected us to get a remake of the Oracle games in the same style as the Link's Awakening remake. And I'm curious if that's something that they have in their plans at all. Because now that they've just released these, admittedly, if we got a remake, there'd still be a reason to play it because, you know, whole new graphics and whatnot. But there's slightly less of a reason to want to experience it now since these games are already available and people might play it before that remake, if it does exist, potentially releases.
Yeah, I hadn't heard that rumor before. I would be kind of surprised, honestly, considering we just got Tears of the Kingdom this year, but it's not impossible.
I don't think it's much of a rumor. It's more of a hope. I would expect if something like that were to exist, it would probably have to release next year or something. I doubt they would kind of shove in two quote-unquote new Zelda games within the same release year like that.
Yeah. Well, hey, I mean, along those lines, I mean, it kind of leads well into our next topic, but now these are rumors, and we don't always talk about rumors on the show, but Jeff Grubb, he has a pretty good track record for being right about things. Sometimes his timelines are not always 100% correct, but he has gotten some stuff right in the past. And he came out recently with some things that he had heard. Again, this is Jeff Grubb from Giant Bomb. And he said a couple interesting things. First of all, related to Zelda, he said he didn't want to basically say too much because he doesn't want people to take anything out of context or whatever. But basically all he said was something not related to Tears of the Kingdom is happening with Zelda later this year. That's all he said. So maybe, Nicholas, maybe it could be your your Oracle remake. I don't know what else it could maybe be unless it's bringing over Twilight Princess or Wind Waker.
I feel like if it was those, he probably wouldn't have made a big deal of it because he's talked about Wind Waker HD and Twilight Princess HD on Switch before. So I think he would have been more direct. So this is just kind of interesting. I wouldn't be surprised if it's something merchandise related or just something part of another medium. Maybe not like a movie
Zelda
or TV
movie?
Show. Like, I don't feel that would be cool, but I don't think it would happen yet. I feel like if anything, it's probably like a Lego set or something like that. Something that's still pretty cool, but isn't game related, because it seems like what you said before, I don't think they would release another Zelda game right after Tears of the Kingdom. If we are going to get Tears of the Kingdom DLC, because that's not necessarily guaranteed, but if we are, I think they would wait for that to be released before they put out another Zelda game, even if it's a port or a remaster.
Yeah, I really hope they don't. I don't want that game is so massive. It does not need any DLC.
Honestly, I agree, because I feel it also feels weird because they've always announced all their DLCs before the game's release, outside of Mario Kart, which is a bit of an outlier in the first place. So the fact they haven't said anything kind of makes me think that we might just not get DLC for Tears of the Kingdom, and that's fine because the game is more than content complete.
Yeah, and I'm ready for something new. I'm ready for more Zelda that is not based in that version of Hyrule, you know?
Yeah.
I'd totally be down for another, like, you know, top-down remake or something more experimental. I don't know. I'm open to see what they might have planned.
Yeah.
But Jeff Grubb, he also stated in the same conversation, this is a quote from him, Metroid Prime 2 Remastered probably is coming out relatively soonish. That is happening. It's going to be mostly what people want. It's going to have the modern controls and it's going to be HD and things like that, but it's not going to get the love and care that Metroid Prime got. So this is what we've heard in the past. Obviously, nothing is official until it's confirmed by Nintendo. But this does kind of echo what we have heard that, you know, and what has ended up coming true. We got this amazing, I would call it more of a remake, honestly, of Metroid Prime earlier this year. That was just stunning. And there was no word about 2 or 3. And the rumor prior to that point had been, hey, those games are going to come, but they're going to be more just kind of ports, you know,
or
lighter remasters.
I think, if I remember correctly, because this had come from Jeff Grubb as well, I think sometime last year, was that they had gotten Retro Studios to be working on the Prime 1 remaster, and they had intended for them to do the entire trilogy, but when the development for Prime 4 shifted over so that they ended up taking that on, they ended up just concluding the remaster for Prime 1, and then other studios are making Prime 2 and 3 based off what they've seen Retro do with Prime 1. So I think it'll probably still be... I hope it will still have like redone textures and new assets and whatnot. It won't just be an up-res, kind of like what Twilight Princess HD was. I hope it'll have a similar amount of visual fidelity that Metroid Prime 1 Remastered has. But ultimately, I think I'd just be happy if those games came to the Switch at all. I really do want to play them, and I don't want to start Prime 2 on Wii U until this game releases on Switch, because I would just feel real silly.
Dude, I understand your struggle completely, because like we're getting to that point where, okay, you know, Metroid Dread came and went. Amazing. We loved it. Metroid Prime Remastered. Okay. It's been... what, over four years now since they restarted development of Prime 4? Like, it's gotta be coming. It's gotta be coming. Okay, so everyone is like, all right, we're all collectively probably thinking, I'm gonna go back and I'm gonna replay some of the Metroid games, or play the ones I missed, or whatever it is. But then there's always that question, especially for the Prime games. Like I'm like, okay, like, this is a great time. If I'm gonna get ready for Prime 4, I want to play through all these games, like, now, basically. But same thing as you, Nicholas. I'm like, I would be kicking myself if I had to, like, you know, go get my Wii U together and get all that set up, and then a week or so after I play it, they're like, oh, here you go. The best version of this game we've ever made. Inevitably, that's what's going to happen. It doesn't matter how I'm going to time it. That's what's going to happen. Actually, I think that was what happened to Louise. Louise, like, last year, he played the original... he might have played all of them, actually. I can't remember. And then we got the Metroid Prime.
Yeah, I sort of did that as well, actually, too. I think I played Prime 1, like, a month or two before he did. Just in my own time, and, like, say same thing. But I had a friend play through Prime 1 Remastered on Switch, so I still got to see the game run and... all the visual changes they made, which was really neat.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been recommending it. I've been trying to get my good friend Michael to play this amazing game. And one of these days, I'm gonna get him to do it. They're so good. More people need to play them.
Yep.
all right. Now this is also in rumor territory, but it comes from VGC, and this is. Again, something that we've heard from other credible sources in the past. There was some speculation a while ago. I can't remember where exactly it came from, but there was a discussion that Ubisoft might be working on a sequel to Immortals Phoenix Rising. And for those of you who don't remember or only remember a little bit, this was basically Ubisoft's... it was a brand new franchise for them. It was originally called Gods and Monsters, and it's perhaps it got compared a lot to Breath of the Wild at the time of its release. It's this big open world RPG. It was like kind of echoing what they were doing with Assassin's Creed at the time in terms of having this big sprawling open world, and but it leaned into Greek mythology really heavily, and you had all these powers that were very similar to the powers Link had in Breath of the Wild. Lots of like physics-based puzzles and things like that, and the game did okay. It had, you know, good reviews overall, but it didn't sell very well, is my understanding. And I don't think they really managed to establish a super strong new IP out of it like they might have hoped. But anyways, they, you know, there had been rumors that they had been working on a sequel for a while, but now the buzz basically is that. That sequel has been canceled, which does kind of track with what Ubisoft has said lately. It was a couple months ago that they canceled a bunch of projects that were unannounced, that were in development, and of course they didn't say what those games were, but Ubisoft has kind of been struggling lately in terms of their output. Things are starting to look up for them a little bit. They have a new Star Wars game coming out next year. They have The Crew 2 launching imminently. Hopefully they're still working on that Splinter Cell remake, because I really want that. But yeah, it's a bit of a bummer. It's a bit of a bummer that this new thing that they tried didn't really take off. And may not get something else.
I never played the game myself, the original Immortals. It just didn't appeal to me at the time. This is, like you said, this is still a shame, because it was a brand new IP, and it still had... It had some potential, and them kind of having to just drop that is, it's disappointing, especially in light of the fact that there are other rumors that they have, like, 11 Assassin's Creed games in development or something. It's just an insane amount, and I wish that they had a bit more of a diverse release lineup.
Yeah, I know, I totally feel you. I am excited for that new Prince of Persia game, though, I will say.
Yeah, that does look genuinely good.
That's really exciting. But clearly that one did not do well enough for them, but hopefully we'll still get more experimental releases that actually come out. Beyond Good and Evil 2, Skull and Bones, probably something else. Oh, man. Okay, one other interesting headline I wanted to touch on. So one of the big announcements from Summer Game Fest earlier this year was Sonic Superstars, which is a brand new original 2D Sonic game. And it is basically, you know, taking the franchise in kind of a new direction aesthetically. A lot of fans had kind of hoped that after the success of Sonic Mania, that they would return to that style and do a Sonic Mania 2. And I think Sonic Superstars, I mean, I think it looks great. I had a lot of fun playing it at Summer Game Fest. But, you know, of course, everyone has different tastes. And there are definitely the Sonic fans out there who have a preference for that more old school visual style. And interestingly, earlier this week, we actually got a little bit of insight into that. So apparently there was some interest in making a Sonic Mania 2 from Sega. But ultimately, it just kind of came down to that they... wanted to shake things up, and they wanted to make a game that wasn't based in pixel art. They wanted to do all new levels this time around. They didn't want to recycle something. And that was kind of why they decided to go in this new direction. Which, honestly, I think, at least in terms of me and my preferences, I think it was the right call. Because mm-hmm. I think fans were getting... Some fans, at least, were probably getting tired of seeing, you know, Green Hill Zone over and over again. You know, Chemical Plant. And it's like...
Right, right.
It's nice that we're getting something new.
Yeah, I think it's cool, too, because it's also just... it's what the devs want to do, right? Like, if they wanted to make another Mania and have a bunch of inspirations from previous titles, they absolutely could have done that. But what they want to do is make something new, and they seem, you know, passionate about that. And it's all looking really good. It seems like they have a very solid concept behind this. So I think this is just awesome. It's really cool to see them taking a new direction with it.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's worth mentioning that the Sonic Mania team, they're doing their own thing now, too. They're working on, it's called A Penny's Big Breakaway. That's, like, their first, like, 3D platformer that they're working on, and it's... I don't know if you... Did you catch this one, Nicholas, when they announced it?
Yep. It was... it wasn't the Direct, I believe, right?
Yeah. It's that interesting new platformer where you use, like, a yo-yo as, like, your, mm-hmm. like, traversal mechanic. Looks really just, like, you know... It definitely seems like it's going to be right up their alley in terms of the momentum of the movement yeah. and just the overall charm of everything. So... Yep. So they're working on something new. Sonic is going on to something new. I think ultimately everyone's going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's shift gears and talk about some of the new games that have been announced over the past couple weeks. There was a lot. We can't get to everything, but I did want to highlight some things that are interesting or exciting or completely out of left field. so first of all, we're getting quite a few games from Game Mill. They announced a bunch of projects this past week. Some of them, not really worth writing home about. I think it was like another Trolls game or whatever. Like, you know, so a new Smurfs game or something. I don't know, but nothing.
Can you slander the Smurfs game?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I know we have a lot of Smurfs fans that listen to the show. I don't want to. Don't want to alienate them, but this is, I think, a little more exciting than that, though. So a couple years ago, they released a kind of their take on a Smash Bros-style platform fighter called Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl, and there's a sequel coming, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2. Apparently it's coming later this year, and it's going to be kind of an expanded version of that original game. There's going to be a campaign this time. There's going to be more characters. They've already revealed Jimmy Neutron, which is awesome. There's cross-play support this time around. Voice acting for all the characters. So they're really doing a lot to kind of shake this up. I'm excited. I have a lot of nostalgia for the Nickelodeon cast of characters. And I never played the original, but this seems like a much more complete package than the first one was, so I'm actually really looking forward to this.
Yeah, it's, I guess the first one did well enough that they finally got the budget they needed to make, I mean, not a proper game, but really a complete title, a complete package. I'm personally not super interested in it, just because I've never had that attachment to Nickelodeon growing up, but sure. It's nice to see this kind of living up to the potential it actually had. Because for as much as people might have enjoyed the original game, it definitely had a lot of very blatant flaws and issues. And this seems like it's very directly addressing them.
Yeah, it really does. I can see this being a harder sell if you don't have nostalgia for the Nickelodeon characters. But I think they're nailing it. I'm watching the trailer right now. And just, like, listening to the dialogue that they put in for Squidward, who's also a new character, I'm just like, this is amazing. I'm really excited for this. It's launching at $50, and then if you want the version with the season pass, it's going to launch for $70, which, you know, I mean, that's basically the price of that they're shifting games towards now, but $50 for the base game isn't too bad, I think, and... they're saying if you get the season pass, they're gonna add 4 new characters over the course of the season, so that'll be interesting. But yeah, I've actually been kind of hungry for a new fighting game lately, and until Street Fighter VI comes to Switch, which is going to be never, I'm looking for something exciting. So
an eternity of Nickelodeon All-Stars Brawl 2.
Yeah, yeah. They also announced, well, this one I don't think. Check my notes real quick. Yeah, this one's also from Game Mill. They announced it around the same time. They're also putting out a kart racing game, but this one is based on DreamWorks. So it's called DreamWorks All-Star Kart Racing, and it's got characters from a lot of their franchises. Shrek, Megamind, How to Train Your Dragon, you know? So this one I'm a little nervous about because not all the DreamWorks games have a great reputation. And I don't think we've gotten any gameplay for this one yet, so that's really going to be the test for whether or not this one is any good. But hey, you know, if you want to race as Shrek, there you go.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to raise my hopes up for that one.
Yeah, I think that's probably safe. But, you know, maybe it's just me, but I have just this love just for the kart racing genre, and so I always want to be optimistic when I see something like this. I'm like, it could be good, you know? I mean, we had some good Sonic racers, you know, the recent, like, Crash Team Racing, that turned out pretty well. I want to be optimistic, but we'll have to wait and see. So, yeah, that's coming out. But here's where things get really interesting. So we also had, I want to say it was a couple weeks ago, Limited Run Games had a really big showcase, and they announced a ton of exciting stuff. If you're a fan of older games and you're, you know, if that's what you're looking at, there was a lot in this show for you. We can't touch on everything, but I wanted to hit on at least a couple things that I think are going to have people either really excited or scratching their heads. The first one being, we're getting a Gex trilogy. They're re-releasing the Gex games.
Even just hearing that is insane.
it's wild. So these are these old 3D platformers. I think the first one came out in 1995, which is crazy. They have never been re-released on modern platforms. And yeah, I have never played these games. They've just, my familiarity with Gex starts and ends with the memes around Gex. thanks to Scott the Woz for bringing that back into the cultural zeitgeist. But yeah, are you familiar with these games at all, Nicholas?
Just like you, past the memes, not really. I know a little bit about them. The first one was more of a 2D side-scroller, if I remember correctly, and 2 and 3 broke into 3D. But yeah, for the most part, these games just kind of... people are aware of them because they're so heavily memed, and they're just kind of like these niche, just action platformer games that... They're kind of part of, like, all the other things with Croc and... I guess maybe not Klonoa, but all the other, like, non-Super Mario 64, Banjo-Kazooie 3D platformers that existed in that era that people are still fond of, still have fond memories of, who might have played them in their childhood, but just are kind of forgotten. And them being brought back at all in, like, an official capacity like this it's very cool, but it feels so bizarre.
Yeah, I mean, hey, you gotta give Limited Run Games credit. Like, they're venturing where probably no other publisher would want to venture in 2023, just for the sake of game preservation. So I think it's really cool. I actually am really curious about these, so I probably will check them out when they come out. Apparently, these games might see some improvements. They're running on Limited Run Games' Carbon engine, which I'm not super familiar with, but my understanding is that it improves the emulation of these games. So that'll be interesting to see. But yeah, it's such a random kind of off the wall release that I can't help but be a little curious about it. The other really big surprise, I think, for a lot of people was They're doing a remaster of the original Clock Tower game. For those who aren't familiar, Clock Tower is a survival horror series, and there's been several of them, but the original one came out only in Japan on the Super Famicom. But it is finally getting translated officially for North America and Europe now. And these games, the first one is kind of a, from a side-scrolling perspective, a horror game. You might have seen the villain before. The villain like has a giant pair of scissors that he tries to cut off people's heads with. It's I've always got the vibe that like it's like a little silly and like kind of that Resident Evil, you know, way, but that it's kind of doing its own thing tonally.
Right. I mean, this is a Capcom game, released before the first Resident Evil, I believe. So in a way, it's kind of the precursor for that series.
Yeah, it is a different take on the horror genre. There were some sequels that took the series into 3D at some point, I want to say. And I know we had some spiritual sequels by other teams. I can't remember what they were called, but I vaguely remember there was a team that was making like a spiritual sequel for the PlayStation Vita, and I can't remember if that ever came out or not.
Well, if it was for the Vita, there was only one way that was going to go.
unfortunately. And this remaster, interestingly, is being developed by WayForward, which is crazy.
Yep, they've been doing a lot. Feels like they've only gotten bigger in the last few years.
Yeah. They're also another... I didn't put this in our rundown for this episode, but we don't know if it's coming to Switch or not yet, but WayForward, they're also making a Shantae game for the Game Boy Advance on a physical cartridge.
Right, that was something that they were... there was like an old unreleased game or something, or like a concept for one, right?
Yeah, it was something that they had started, but that they never released because of like technological limitations at the time. But for some reason now in 2023, they were able to complete the vision. And yeah, they're going to be releasing a physical Game Boy Advance cartridge with this unreleased Shantae game, which is just crazy to me.
Yeah, that's awesome, though.
And that makes me wonder, like, are there just, like, piles of empty Game Boy Advance cartridges, like, sitting in a warehouse somewhere that they're programming? Or are they making their own, like, imitation Game Boy Advance cartridges? I have no idea. No. Anyways, Limited Run Games, doing some really cool things. There are some other projects that came out of that showcase that are original projects that are not brand new games. One of them I wanted to highlight is, I just think, just really cool. It's called Arzet, the Jewel of Faramore. And the notable thing about this game is if you go and you watch the trailer, the cutscenes are imitating a very specific point in video game history. They're specifically inspired by the CDI Zelda games. If you've ever seen those cutscenes, you've probably seen the meme that's like, "Oh, excuse me, princess." That's where that comes from. They're making a whole game based on that, basically. So,
that is insane. Really, like, the Gex being a thing is, you know, that's wild. But the fact we have an actual spiritual successor to the CDI games is really crazy. Because those are a joke because they are not good.
No, they're not.
So the fact that someone would see that and be like, okay, but what if we did that but actually put in effort is just wild. And they've put in effort. Like, they've even gone ahead and hired the voice actors that voice Zelda and Link in the original CDI games. Like, they really are trying.
Wow, yeah. That's crazy. That I did not know. But yeah, the gameplay is, it's a 2D side-scroller with some melee combat, which the gameplay itself also looks really good, but it's just like, wow. Like, this is the point where we're at now in gaming nostalgia. We've mined so deeply that we're now digging into the hidden tunnels of gaming history. So yeah, that's an interesting project coming out in the next year or so. And then this other one I wanted to highlight, I don't think this was in the Limited Run Games showcase. I think it was, actually. This game is called Double Shake, and if you go watch the trailer for this one, you'll notice that it is definitely inspired by Klonoa. The overall gameplay, it definitely has a lot of similarities. You know, you can like pick up your foes and toss them into the foreground and background. You go on these platforms that shoot you across the environment. It's kind of 2.5D. It's definitely doing its own thing, like visually speaking. The art style is different, but you can definitely see that it's inspired by Klonoa. Which, you know, I mean, what a good time for it. There's probably a whole new legion of Klonoa fans out there now with the remaster last year or so.
Yeah, it's always fun whenever you see projects like this, which are so very clearly inspired by other games that the creators have loved. They're just trying to put a new spin on it and kind of revitalize the genres and the gameplay styles. This is something that I guess Limited Run really focused on in their last presentation, and this is just another great example of that.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they definitely know their audience, and apparently I'm a big part of that, because I was not expecting much from this showcase, and then literally every other announcement, I was like, oh my god, that looks amazing. Oh wow,
yeah, genuinely this? Though, when I was seeing all the individual trailers being posted, it was just like, wait, they're doing what? Like, right. Back to back to back to back. It was really cool.
Yeah. It's crazy how much they've grown, too. I mean, Limited Run Games, they have, like, at least one physical storefront now. You know, obviously they've been doing these showcases each year for the past couple years now. Clearly they're able to work with these major companies, you know, like Capcom. I mean, it's yeah, really impressive how much they've grown.
It's gotten to the point where I've seen people question whether it's even correct to call them an indie publisher at this rate, because they've really stepped up.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, what is that threshold exactly, you know? I mean, certainly they're not as big as, like, you know, an Ubisoft or an EA or anything like that. And they're probably not even as big as a lot of AA studios, as few and far between as those are nowadays. But they clearly have the connections to, you know, work with some of these major IPs. So it is interesting. And you know, for all the discussion about, you know, and I think it is valid, you know, some people are, you know, we talk about things like artificial scarcity in video games and how, you know, oh, we're only going to make so many copies of this, and then if you miss the initial window, they all get scalped like crazy, and then you're out a bunch of money. So I think there are some valid critiques over their business model in that sense, but no one's really doing what they're doing to the same extent, so.
Yep, they're a great asset to just the gaming community in general.
Yeah, I definitely agree. All right, and just one more thing I wanted to give an update on, because we touched about this briefly in a previous episode. We've known for a while there's a new Harvest Moon game coming, Harvest Moon, The Winds of Anthos. It was announced quite a while back, but all we had at the time when it was originally announced were a couple screenshots, and we finally have a look at the gameplay for this game. And it truly is like a 3D Harvest Moon game. I think it looks great. It's definitely like manages to carry forth the art style really well, but it looks like the gameplay we're seeing, it just all looks surprisingly smooth. I was a little nervous after playing Rune Factory 5 that, you know, these kind of adapting these franchises to 3D in this way is not always going to work, but looking at the trailer for this, I'm hopeful for this.
Yeah, it doesn't look bad. I think visually it does look a little flat, but not to an extent that it takes away from the style. And I think the game overall does look very solid. I really like what they're doing with kind of the art style. And I don't know, it just seems nice. Yeah. I guess that's kind of just the point of a lot of these Harvest Moon style games, is that they just seem kind of pleasant.
Yeah, the character models look great. The art direction, I do agree with you, it's pretty simple, but... You know, I'd rather have it be a little on the simple side and actually be able to run well on the Switch than
right.
Whatever the heck was going on here in Factory. But yeah, this game is coming out really soon, September 26th. So it's kind of crazy that we're just now seeing a trailer for it, but hopefully, I'm hoping that it moves the franchise forward, because the Harvest Moon series has kind of, it's needed a little bit of TLC, in my opinion. Past couple games have not really landed with a lot of people. All right. Well, let's get into our recent releases segment. Obviously, the big heavy hitter the past few weeks was Pikmin 4, but we have had some other smaller projects come out lately. This one was kind of a surprise. I don't think anyone was expecting this. There's a game called The Entropy Center, which is a first-person puzzler, kind of along the lines of Portal, is probably the best point of comparison. It's very story-heavy. I've heard it's actually pretty funny. We've gotten quite a few of these games that have kind of tried to, you know, capitalize on the things that Portal did really well, and not all of them have landed, but this one has gotten a lot of good reviews. It's doing well on Steam. It's kind of post-apocalyptic. The whole gimmick with this one is you're reversing objects through time. So if you're coming fresh off Tears of the Kingdom and still have your puzzle hat on, you might enjoy this one.
Yeah, it looks good. It's always fun to see all these very Portal-inspired games. That series really just created a genre, pretty much.
Yeah, I miss it. I miss it so much. And you know, nothing is really going to be a true Portal game other than another Portal game. But in the meantime, you know, this is better than nothing. And I'm glad we have another example of something in this genre that's by another team that is at least, you know, approaching like a higher level of quality. Because I've definitely played some first-person puzzlers that just are not even close to that caliber. And but this one I've heard is really good. So. Switchport, we're gonna have to wait and see how it actually performs, because this game was originally kind of touted as like a next-gen game, and the screenshots I'm looking at are not giving me a lot of hope for it. Yeah, your mileage may vary, but approach with caution. Maybe seek out a review or two before you pick this one up. If you're looking for another RPG for some reason, if you haven't gotten your fill already this year, this one has been getting a little bit of buzz. In fact, we have a review up on NintendoEverything.com right now if you want to go hear more about it. But this is an RPG called Crosstales, and it is a isometric strategy RPG, not totally distant from something like Fire Emblem, I guess you could say. So this whole game is set within an animal world, and it's cats versus dogs, essentially. That's probably an oversimplification, but the description says the canine kingdom of Ranverfurt and the feline republic of Heidik, I don't know, have clashed, and it's just turn-based strategy, and there's 30 different classes, so it seems fairly in depth.
Yep, and they're all animal people. This feels very Japanese in that regard.
Yeah, you already know if you're in the target audience for this or not.
Yeah,
you probably don't need me to try and explain it.
Yeah, hopefully it's just another good strategy RPG on the system.
Yeah. If you're looking for something from a bit more of an established franchise, totally forgot that this one was coming out, but we got a remake of one of the first Atelier games. This is a remake of Atelier Marie. And unlike the more recent Atelier games, which are full 3D, you know, very traditional, I guess I don't want to say traditional, actually the opposite. The latest Atelier games are really modern, very visually impressive. You've got these big worlds you're exploring. Whereas this game, honestly, like, it almost resembles, I almost want to compare it to, like, Link's Awakening in terms of, like, its, like, mm-hmm. perspective. See, yeah, and art style.
Yeah, it's funny, because I was just thinking, this is, like, this is, like, what if you had a game like Pokemon Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl, but it was actually done well? Because I mean, Listen, I mean, I'm taking the shots I can. Yeah. But yeah, this looks super charming. I honestly love this art style. It keeps that chibiness, which I assume was part of the original because it was probably on a low resolution system, and I assume they had to use chibis rather than full models. But it looks super good. Like, it's all super well animated. The lighting effects are excellent. The texture work is great. It looks really, really nice.
Yeah. Yeah. And, yeah, it seems to, you know, retain the story and a lot of the mechanics from the original one. But it's a pretty shocking remake. I think the original one, I want to say it was, like, a Game Boy game. I could be wrong about that. But yeah, it looks really impressive. I also, you know, it's not going to be quite as, I think, big of an experience as some of the other Atelier games. So if you're looking for something a little bit more concise, this might be a nice bite-sized RPG to dig into.
It's also the start of the Atelier series in general, right?
That's what I feel like I remember hearing. I feel like I remember this being one of the first Atelier games, if not the first. And if you are really curious, if you pick up the digital deluxe version, you actually get the original game, like a port of the original release.
That is very cool.
Yeah. Like, we talk about game preservation a lot, but, like, that's a way to do it, you know?
Like, yeah, that is not something you see very often, but that is very, very neat.
Yeah. Especially for a franchise like this, you know? I mean, the Atelier franchise has gotten probably as big as it's ever been, but, you know, it's still not the type of thing you'd expect to see from a game from Koei Tecmo, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, very cool. And another big recent release, and I actually want to talk about this one, because I've been reviewing it, is Disney Illusion Island. This is a brand new Metroidvania from Delawa Studios. They're the makers of... What?
Sorry, just the idea of a Mickey Mouse Metroidvania is amazing. Like, okay. those words in the same sentence awaken something.
It is strange. And I interviewed the developers at Summer Game Fest, and they were really trying to get... They were trying to get people to call it a Mickeyvania. They were trying. I really don't want to call it that because, you know, it's just like a PR thing. But anyways, this is an interesting game for a couple reasons. First of all, it is basically the first original Mickey Mouse game on console that we've gotten since they shuttered Disney Interactive back in 2016. We really haven't gotten a lot of original Disney games in that span of time. So this is pretty notable from that respect. Second of all, it's a totally original, like, story. It's a new world. It's got new characters. Third, it's by the makers of the Battletoads, the original Battletoads game, which I think was a remake. And they're known for their animation prowess, and that absolutely comes through in this game. Like, the animation in this game is incredible. There's so much love for the source material. Especially if you look at the animated cutscenes, which feel like straight out of a Disney cartoon. It's awesome. And the other really interesting thing is there is no combat in this game. You don't really fight anything at all. It's all about traversing the world and avoiding things, basically. So it's kind of a different take on the genre as a whole.
I'm curious, how is it difficulty-wise? Because I would assume, between the fact that it's a four-player multiplayer and the fact that obviously it's a, you know, Disney Mickey Mouse game, it probably isn't that challenging.
It's not, no. The difficulty is really customizable. You can set your health level manually whenever you boot up the game, so you can choose basically how many hearts you want to have. You can set it so you just have one, and so that you, anytime you die, you go back to the last checkpoint. But the checkpoints are so common in this game that you'll never really lose more than a minute or two of progress if you die.
Okay.
I have heard that you can unlock like a higher difficulty mode after beating the game. I did beat the game, but I haven't ventured into any of the other modes or anything like that. So.
Gotcha.
I will say, you know, and this maybe, I'm not sure everyone's going to agree with me on this, but I'm generally not the sort of person that thinks like games need combat, and I was really open to the idea of this game being a combat-free platformer. In a way, it sounded kind of refreshing because we don't get a lot of those. But I will say, like, when I was actually playing through, I felt like something was missing. Like, really, your only means of interacting with this world are traversing through it. So you're going to be wall jumping, you're going to be double jumping and gliding, and there's a grapple hook that you unlock eventually. Like, that's all fine, but that's really all you're doing, is just running and jumping through the world and uncovering new little platforming challenges as you explore. And I think I just found myself kind of wishing that, I mean, even if they wanted to not put in combat, that's fine, but I feel like something else needed to be put in the place of that, because there's just not a lot of interesting ways to interact with the world, I think.
Okay. I mean, that, I think that's reasonable. That makes sense.
Yeah. But I mean, overall, I think it's a really creative game, and I'm glad it exists, and I'm glad I got to play it.
Yeah, I think there's definitely going to be certain audiences that this is going to resonate with really well. Anyone that's probably a really big Disney fan, or even just younger audiences that are kind of picking up a game for the first time, this seems like it would be really, really solid.
Yeah, they are really touting co-op play. And I think because this game does not have combat, you know, if you're looking to play with your kids or maybe someone who doesn't play a lot of video games, I think this will be a really approachable entry point to the genre. But I think if you play a lot of these games, you may find it feels a little too simple for its own good sometimes, which was kind of how I felt. I did still have fun with it, but yeah, I think your mileage may vary depending on how much love you have for this genre.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm really excited that I finished this one, because now I can focus solely on Xenoblade Chronicles for the next month or so. So, which is really what I want.
I'm not going to complain about that.
Yes. Well, what have you been playing, Nicholas? I know it's been a while since we had you on the show.
I mean, a few different things. I do want to give a small shout out to Ghost Trick, because that game is fantastic. And it's been a little bit since I beat it, but it's amazing. And I want to recommend that. But otherwise, more recently, what I've been playing has been Ring Fit Adventure, actually. I've been kind of wanting to get back into that, because I played it a little bit initially when it first launched, but never really got into it. And
sure.
I've been feeling lately I want to try and just exercise and get in shape a bit more. And I thought I would just try the game again, see how it is, see if it works. And it's actually really fun. It's genuinely surprising to me, because it's a very competently put together RPG in a way that I was not expecting. It's just so much more than they had to do for a fitness game, especially when compared to Wii Fit and Wii Fit U. Like, this is an actual RPG campaign that the main adventure mode has. You have different gear, you have a level up system, you have consumable items, there's a new game plus. There's just so much here that makes it an actual game rather than just an exercise routine. And even as an exercise routine, it's still really good. It customizes itself to your experience. Based on what you've done during your play session, it'll give you different, it'll automatically adapt the static stretching you do after a session to focus on the places you've exercised the most. Even discounting like all of the adventure mode, which is the core of the game and is really, really fun, there's still a whole bunch of other stuff to do. There's individual exercises you can do. So if you don't want to play through a game necessarily, there's still sets of like more traditional aerobics and whatnot you can try out. There's a bunch of mini games. There's a rhythm mode, which is not exactly like a Just Dance or a DDR, but it's still pretty fun to play, honestly. Like, it's a really, really good package in a way that I never thought the game was bad. It just hadn't clicked with me at first. And now it's like, wow, this is a lot.
Well, and I'm really glad they went this route, because as cool as stuff like Wii Fit can be, you know, if you're trying to get into fitness and you're not really like, currently inclined that way, I think it's going to be harder to get into something like a Wii Fit, because it's going to feel mostly just like a workout. Whereas this, you know, like, it's definitely a workout. Like, I don't know about you, but when I was playing Ring Fit Adventure, I found myself kind of caught off guard by just how much it was pushing me, like, physically. Like, my legs were killed. I had to do so many squats during Ring Fit Adventure, Nicholas. I was like, oh my gosh, I might need to dial this down a little bit.
Yeah, I'm at the point where the knee lifts and the warrior poses are by far the most damage I can do. So by God, I am lifting those knees.
Seriously. Oh, yeah, it like gets mad at you. It's like tells you, like, lift your knees higher, right? Like, it'd be like, like, it's like, it's like,
if you
want to
get the full damage, you better move.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, you know, like, if you know, you're someone and you're trying to get into fitness, and, you know, this is definitely much more compelling, like, as a game than something like Wii Fit. So
yeah, it's really just fun to see that there was genuine care put into trying to make it a video game and tie in the fitness aspects. Like, I believe, for instance, even just the structure of the adventure mode, where you have these combat encounters and then you have these jogging sessions in between, is based on a real life fitness concept where you do, like, those more intense exercises and then you do a little bit of cardio to wind down. It's wild that they made this and that it works so well, and the controller is so cool and works so well. I really like it. I hope I keep up with it and keep playing it for months to come, because it's good for you and it's also really fun.
Yeah. No, that's awesome. So did you track down a physical copy, like, recently, or have you had it for a while, or?
I've had it for a while. I think I bought it around launch and I tried it, like, a little bit there and was just like, you know, this is neat, but I'd never really gotten into it. Partly because of the housing situation I was in at the time, where I just didn't have a lot of room to do this. Uh-huh. And just also, I wasn't super motivated to do it, but, I just found it stashed away in a closet because I've been keeping it aside for a while and was like, well, you know, this is worth a shot.
Yeah. Yeah, I picked up my copy during COVID, which I think a lot of people did because no one could go to the gym and everyone was looking for a way to work out. And especially for me, you know, living in Arizona where it's so freaking hot here most of the year and you can't do anything outside. I was like, gosh, I can't go to the gym. Like, I need something. And that was really where this game came along. Admittedly, it did not hold my interest for a super long time. Once I was able to go to the gym again, I pretty much dropped it. But hearing you talk about it does kind of have me wanting to pick it up and give it another shot. So
yeah, I will say, as someone that's never really gotten into the habit of exercising, this feels like a really good way to kind of just start. And I think that's also the intent, is that you don't necessarily need to be making this your single exercise routine for, like, the next 7 years or whatever. But it's a way for you to get used to it and to kind of get you engaged with the concept of exercising in a fun manner. And then once you've got that down pat and you're kind of used to it and you don't mind it, then you can start getting a more regular routine if you want. Something where you can go to a gym or you can use other equipment, because obviously, as cool as the Rincon is, it is limited. So it's a really solid way of just getting you started, I think.
Yeah, I think that's a really good way to look at it. Well, cool. Well, I'm glad you've been enjoying it. And I think with that is our episode for the week. So thank you everyone so much. This has been episode 60 of Nintendo Everything Refresh. And we really appreciate everyone's support. We will definitely be picking up the pace of episodes now that I am back from my travels. And so definitely keep coming back. We're definitely going to have a new episode next week. If you like what you hear, please spread the word. We are always trying to get new folks listening to the show. We are on pretty much every major podcasting platform, from Spotify to Apple Music to Stitcher. So wherever you want to listen to us, we are out there. And we do have a video version available on YouTube as well as on Spotify if you like to see a little bit of video game B-roll in the background while you're watching. So thank you everyone so much, and we will be back at you next week with everything new and exciting in the world of Nintendo. See y'all next time.